Welcome to the Sanctus NYC Message Podcast. We are the young adult community of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, built on the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Join us today as we look to God to lead us into the fullness of the life that he has for us.
Amen. Okay, so a quick recap from last week was this. The what of God's will for our life is very clear, and it's universal. God has called us to live in him, for him to be first place, for life not to be about just like running to the world, not looking to worldly solutions to the spiritual needs of our life, but realizing that what we were created for is the God who made us, and living in him is the highest calling. It is the primary part of his will. There's things he wants us to do, but the main part of God's will for our life is to be in him and with him. But then from there, as we're in him and with him, there are ways he wants us to be in the world. He wants us to be like Jesus. He wants us to show mercy, to love, to be patient, to prioritize people above ourselves, to live for the gospel, pointing people to the truth that sets them free. This is universal. Nobody is called who's born again and in Christ to not live that way. So the what of God's will for our life is this thing that's very clear. I'm supposed to be loving people. I'm supposed to be living for the kingdom of God. I'm supposed to be pointing people to the gospel. I'm supposed to be serving. But to who? When? Where? How? That is stuff that you're not going to just find Bible verses that tell you what job you should be taking or who you should be marrying or what country you should be living in, right? So does that then mean, well, we just have to try to live a good, principled life? Well, no. When you look through the Bible, we see the Holy Spirit directly leading people to the places and the people and the times where he wanted to use them. We see prophets in the Old Testament where the Bible says that before you were even born, I appointed you to this nation or to these people. In the same way, God has appointed you for a people, a place, a time. Your highest purpose, the thing that will bring the greatest fulfillment in your life, is you stepping into what Ephesians 2:10 says, the good works that he has prepared for you. So it's not up to us to author our life. God isn't watching to see, are they gonna, make good with the commandments that I've given them? What God makes clear is he is prepared for us. He's written our days before we were even born. He has this glorious plan that he wants to lead us in. And to every person who is a child of God, the Bible says that those who are the children of God are led by the Spirit. So if you're born again, not if you go to church, not if you're trying to be a good person or be more spiritual or get closer to God, if you have trusted in the gospel and you are in Christ today, then God is committed to leading you in what he's created you for. So that's a promise for your life today. But we talked a little bit about what is it that gets in the way? Why is it that God has this beautiful, glorious will, and in ways and in moments we miss it? What the Bible says is when I'm saved, when I receive Jesus, when I'm born again, the Holy Spirit comes. Christianity, for a lot of us maybe who are even new here, Christianity is not about trying to get closer to God. It's not about trying to do less bad things and more good things. Christianity is about God showing you how stuck you are, how even if you believe in him, you can't get yourself to want him or follow him above wanting to be in control of your own life. And when you see that, he says, I've come to give you my heart. I'm not here to try to make you better. I want to make you new. I'm going to give you my spirit. Christianity is about God himself coming to live inside of you so that it's not you improving yourself. It's actually you becoming less and him becoming more. But what we learn when we're born again, we receive this new heart. We receive his spirit. But that old me that still wants control is still there. The part of me, which the Bible calls my sin nature or my flesh is committed to looking to earthly solutions for my spiritual needs. My flesh is committed to replacing the creator for the created things. My flesh believes that what I can find in this world is way better than what I can get from God. And it's not changing. So there is this part in your heart. You can be here and say, God has done this amazing thing in my life. I am a new person. I have changed. He's done this, like, it's real. And I believe Jesus is God. But then when you look at the day-to-day of your life, why is it that you're not completely following him in certain areas where you know you should? It's not rational. It's like, if this is actually true and you believe it, why would your life not be perfectly in order with it? Because just believing in Jesus, just believing, even receiving this new life, doesn't make the part of you that's fighting against him disappear. Unfortunately, until we die, our flesh will be present. One day, when we come face to face with Jesus, the Bible says we will be glorified. Our flesh will be gone. But until that day, we are walking, managing, having to kill and put to death daily this part of us that is fighting against God for control. Our flesh is the thing getting in the way of what we were made for. Our flesh is the thing that convinces us that God is not worth following or being trusted. And you know what's crazy? What the Bible says is, let's put up that first verse really quick. Galatians 5:17. It says this: the flesh, our sinful nature, desires what is contrary or opposite the spirit, and the spirit what is opposite to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. So just keep that up there for a second. What that is saying again is there is something in your heart that is trying to run in the exact opposite direction from what God has for you. It is convinced that God is not good and can't be trusted and just wants to be in control. And that part of you, if it's not dealt with and kept in check, it will lead you away from God's purposes for your life. And that's why what this is saying is, because this is in your heart, if you just live life in a way following just your desires, what seems good and feels good, the Bible calls it walking by sight. If you're just walking by sight, analyzing the options that are in front of you, saying, out of all the things that are here, here's the hierarchy of what seems to be the best possible outcome for my life out of this. So that's what I'm going for, right? The Bible says living that way, following just what comes natural to you, it will lead to this next verse. Let's put this up. Oh, actually, go to the next one. Yes. It says this: whoever sows to please their flesh, or whoever lives a life just letting their flesh be in the driver's seat, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the spirit, from the spirit will reap eternal life. A different translation of this says this: don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live to satisfy their sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. So what that's saying is there is this internal GPS and voice in your mind trying to push you away from what you were made for in Jesus, trying to convince you he is not to be trusted, that what seems most promising to you is the best option. And what it is, it's this GPS of empty promises. Something in your mind telling you, this is what's going to be best for you. But what God says is, if you actually follow that thing, what it will lead to is decay and destruction. There are consequences to life in the flesh. I can be a Christian and my flesh, why is it even saying this? It's talking to Christians. Because if I'm a Christian, and just because I'm saved doesn't mean that I'm putting this thing within me in its right place. It doesn't mean that I'm putting it to death. And so if that's the case, Jesus could have saved me. He could have put this new life in me. I have available to me now this thing I was created for, but I reject it because this voice inside of me, which is saying, no, 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 you know what's best for you. No, 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 you know, you've wanted this since you were a kid. No, look how good this seems. Just do it. It's gonna feel so good. Trust me. It's like, remember Satan in the garden, and God's like, don't go that way. It's death. Don't eat that thing. And Satan is just like, no, 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 no. Like, that's actually the best possible thing for you. If you eat that, you're literally going to become like God. God is actually against you. His will is not what's best for you. He's trying to keep you away from your best life. So just stop. Just do it. And what did it lead to? Death and destruction. In your life today, how many decisions have you made which seemed so right and good in the moment? And how did a lot of those play out for you, right? We've all seen in our life how our judgment is not just this trustworthy thing, right? But just because we know that doesn't mean this part of our heart is gone. We're still fighting it. It's, you can make a million bad decisions in the row, and you could be like, I have a PhD in bad decisions and people that I have no business dating. Well, who's that? And it's like, so you want to get played for the 1,001th time? Right? So here's a very powerful verse. Let's go to the one, Luke 13:34-35. Yeah, I think we got some of the wrong verses in there. I'm just going to read this to you. So this is Jesus looking at the city of Jerusalem, crying over them. Why? He says this, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers. So I've been trying to talk to you. I've been trying to get a hold of you. I'm speaking to you because I want to pull you into what you were created for, because I love you. I'm trying to pull you into the best option available to you. But you kill my prophets, you stone my messengers. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. And now, look, your house is abandoned. So what is that saying? There is so much that God wants to do in your life. Some people take a position theologically that God, his will can't be denied at all. That if God wants something, it will happen. Well, how do we make sense of this? Obviously, God is sovereign. He's in control. But what we see is there is some ability that God gives us to either cooperate and trust him for what he wants to do in our life or push it off and fight. Otherwise, why would Jesus be looking at this city saying, this is what I would have done for you. It would have been beautiful, but you wouldn't let me. When you look at your life, what are the things that you didn't let God do? That could be an overwhelming thought, right? On a day-to-day sense, we all know there's truth to that. How many days have we just spent living selfishly, living distracted and entertaining ourselves? And like, there were so many things God could have done through that day that was beautiful and glorious. And if I look at that, I know that wasn't God's will for that day, right? Like, I left things on the table that God could have done. But then what about in the bigger sense? Is it possible to miss much of God's will for your life? And I think the unfortunate truth that we have to look at soberly today is there is a sense in which, yes, we can. If Jesus is saying, I would have, I wanted to, but you wouldn't let me. There are Christians who live their lives fighting against God, trying to remain in control. They're born again and saved, but they're just like, God, I'm not going to let this go. I'm following what seems best for me. And then when they look at their life and the destruction that that brought, they look back and say, yeah, but God did all of that for a reason. It's like, no, he worked through that. But was that him that made you leave all of that stuff on the table and settle for garbage for so much of your life? Of course not. So there is much, there's in all of our lives, if you're here and you're a Christian, there's things that we've missed that God has wanted to do. That could be really freaky and discouraging to some people here. You can look at your life and say, I've made a lot of bad decisions. So what does that mean? Am I like, God had his A plan, and then he had his B plan, and I'm on like the V now? How many bad decisions, how much have I left on the table now that I've really like dropped this thing? And here's the truth, and this is something we all need to see and be comforted by today. On one hand, God has this I would have will, this perfect will for our life that in different ways, all of us have missed to different extents. But here is the beauty and promise in God's love and commitment towards you. It doesn't matter how far you've ran. It doesn't matter how many mistakes you've made. It doesn't matter how long you've allowed the flesh to control your life and settled for so much less than what God has for you. The moment that you trust in Jesus, the moment that you surrender and submit to him, in that moment, you are now in the redemptive will of God for your life. It doesn't matter how things look yet. It doesn't matter whether you can see a clear trajectory of how it's going to work together for good. If you are trusting God, if you are his child, all things are working together for good, even your mistakes, even your brokenness. So there's actually no cause today. If you look at your life and you see, I've left a lot of stuff on the table. I've missed it. I've just sat in my garbage for so long. It's like, that's unfortunate. We have to be sober to that. We have to get a hold of Jesus today so that we don't see that be how we continue to walk. But if that's where you are today, if you trust Jesus where you are, nothing in your life is too far gone. Nothing is so broken that God can't redeem it. What's so beautiful to see in my life, some of the things that have been a result of my sin and my brokenness, some of the worst things, God has used in the most beautiful ways to show me his love or even to use me in the world. And so if you are here today and you've made decisions fighting against God's will, it's not just like, well, I'm already in this deep and it's over. Trust him today, because the moment that you do, he is committed to making all things new in your life. Amen? But with that, that doesn't mean we just settle for that, right? It's like, well, I'm just going to do my thing then. So let me try to calculate this. Maybe I could just do what I want for like 5 years and then I'll come back and I might have a couple messed up things that come from that, but hopefully like it won't be too much time and I can still have like a pretty good life here, right? Well, no, that's not how it works. Part of the issue too is when we're walking in the flesh, we are actually in the process of our hearts getting harder towards God. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of surrendering to his will. If he's speaking to you, come now and do it. Because if you fight it and you just keep saying, I'll get there eventually, that I'll get there eventually will turn into I don't even care anymore. And so God, what he has for you is so beautiful, so glorious. Do not settle for remaining in a place of, it's like we have to, through what we're hearing today, get a fresh vision, a fresh faith that God has this beautiful will that he created for me, that he's prepared for me, and that he wants to lead me into. One of the main verses we talked about last week, Proverbs 3, 4 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In everything, submit to him, and he will direct your path. So God, this will that he has for your life, he's not saying you have to figure it out. He's not saying, you know, I'm going to make this hard for you and you have to investigate these clues and it's like a puzzle you have to He's saying, if you come and you're trusting me, if you're submitted to me, you will not miss it. I will direct your life into what I made you for. I want to put another verse up, and I think this is the main one that we're going to be talking through today and applying to our lives. Let's put up the other Galatians verse that we hadn't read yet. So this is actually the verse right before the other ones where it says, the spirit and the flesh are at war with each other. This is what it says. So I say, walk by the spirit and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. So what that means here is this. This flesh is present, trying to pull you away from what God created you for. But God, if you have been born again, if you've trusted in Jesus here today, his Holy Spirit is within you. And in each day, in each moment, every step of your life, he's saying, if you walk with me, if you lean on me, that flesh, that part of you that's fighting against, it will not win. What does that tell us? God's will is not just this thing with a bunch of checkpoints. God's will isn't that every 4 years we just reevaluate where things are and he gives me a couple feedback like, yeah, maybe to like switch that around and do that a little bit less and maybe you should go in that direction. God's will for our life is not down the road. It's not just these checkpoints. It is a step-by-step process. God's will is not coming eventually once I get that thing or my job gets figured out. God's will is right now. Am I walking with him? Am I in step with him? The beautiful thing is when you are walking in the spirit, when you're living dependent on him, submitted to him, if you're walking each step and each day in his will, you can't miss God's will for your life. Isn't it amazing how simple that makes it? It's like you could think, but what about this? And how is that going to work out? Whatever. It's like, you can't figure that out right now. And God isn't asking you to. And if he needed you to, he would show you. But he's not. Why? Because he's saying, if you just walk with me and trust in me, like, you're a sheep. I'm the shepherd. You know, in the Bible, and it's interesting, even in the church of Satan, their symbol is a goat. Why? Because sheep don't know what to do. They are herd animals. They're dumb. They're not independent. Their survival is absolutely dependent on having a good shepherd, right? Goats are very independent. They're searchers. They don't just graze in front of them. They know what to do and where to go. And so the church of Satan, in a way, is almost just saying, like, I don't need God. Like, we're good. We can be independent. We don't need to live dependent on a creator. And so in our lives, this is how simple Jesus has made it. Day by day, step by step, be a sheep. You don't know what's best. You're not independent, and I'm not asking you to be. I'm gonna lead you. I'm gonna show you what each step holds as you just remain near me, leaning on me. So if each step of our life there's purpose in, then you can begin to start looking and saying, so what does that mean? Is God interested in like every detail of my life? It's like, okay, he may have a plan for who I marry, or maybe like what job or city I'm living in. But is he really interested in these day-to-day little moments of my life? Like, isn't that being just over-spiritual? Does he care about what I order on the menu at Chick-fil-A? Or what subway car I get in the morning? Do I have to pray to figure out what hand I should use to open the door if he has a will for all of these things? Well, here's something that I've found in my life. I have seen the purposes of God in the most natural, like, things that do not seem like this is some, I'm being led and I have this vision and a cloud is leading me. In these small little moments of just natural desires, being in a certain place at a certain time, it's like you see the purposes of God leading you and doing all these things, and how there been moments where he has made it so clear he is in the subway car that I'm on? Yeah. Are there moments where I was at, I decided one day to wear a certain shirt, my favorite soccer team, which is trash, Tottenham. I don't even know why I wore it. And I go to the coffee shop and the guy goes, are you a Tottenham fan? And then I find out he is. And now we're like boys and God's really used that relationship. It's like, did God really care that day what I was wearing? Did he lead me in that? I think you see the purposes in the hands of God. You see these divine appointments in these very natural things that don't feel like these supernatural crazy moments, right? So if God is involved in these step-by-step small little things in our life, how then do you not live paralyzed, wondering, what do I do? Am I supposed to do that or that? God, which hand do I open the door with? And some people I talk to, they're like, the thought, like, of God leading me and doing all of this stuff, I'm filled with fear because I don't want to blow it. I don't want to miss God's will for my life. And if that's something that you're even feeling, hearing this right now, listen how beautiful this truth is. When you are walking in the Spirit, God, the Bible says, is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to live his will for your life. When I'm leaning on God, he's working through sometimes my appetites, through my thoughts, through things that do not feel supernatural. But then a little bit down the road, I look back and I'm like, God literally like led me to do that. And it just felt like I was hungry in that moment, right? God, when I'm walking in the Spirit, when I begin to go off, he speaks to me. He checks my heart. When I recognize he's my shepherd and he's supposed to be leading me and I'm living dependent on him for that, then when I begin to drift, there's moments you become sensitive because God begins to, in moments, it may not even make sense, but you just feel, I'm not supposed to go that direction. Or I'm supposed to go there for some reason. When you are walking in the Spirit, the natural becomes supernatural. I have a 1-year-old son who just started walking 2 weeks ago, and he literally walks like, he's got some big thighs and he walks like Godzilla. Like everything is just kind of like this right now. And he, now that he's walking, something happened the other day and I was like, that's a sermon analogy. I was gonna go back to my apartment Mind you, this guy doesn't know anything. He doesn't speak English. We can't coordinate our plans here. I can't say, hey, we're going upstairs, then we're gonna go, we're gonna take a bath, we're gonna eat dinner, then I'm gonna put you to bed. He has no idea what he's doing. He's just doing what's in front of him, right? But what's crazy is when he's with me, when I'm walking with him, the other day we're in this playroom and we had to go to an elevator. And so he's walking to the door. He doesn't know that actually we're about to go eat food. He's just walking to the door because it's just there and his brain hasn't developed. He's living just purely instincts right now. And so he's walking to the door, and as he gets there, I open that. And then he walks out, and there's a wall there, and the elevator's that way down the hallway, and he turns, and then he just starts walking down the hallway. He has no idea that we're about to go get dinner, and he's walking exactly in the direction where he needs to go, because he's just doing what makes sense to him. He's just following, that looks interesting, this is what I feel, this is my desire right now, look at that, it's shiny. And he has no idea that as he's doing that, I'm leading him. And then he walked past the elevator. I said, Bubby, come back. And then he did this thing. He's like, because I always say no to him, his first word was no. And he does this thing where he tries to put like some puberty in his voice. And he looks at me and I'm like, Bubby, come back. And he goes, no. And I'm like, now. And then he like just starts walking. And so you look at that and it's, he's just following these open doors, going to what seems interesting, following these desires in his heart, and has no idea because he's with me, I'm leading him. That is a picture of what living led by the Spirit looks like. If you are in Christ and you're living submitted to him, if you're resting on him, if you're not trying to live independent and autonomously, he's so committed to you that the things that are not for you, he's gonna keep you from, he'll check you. You could still blow through those checks if you want to get right back into your flesh, but he will speak to you what's not for you. He'll prod you in the direction of what he has for you. And then some of the things that feel so natural are him supernaturally leading you to these beautiful divine moments filled with purpose. Isn't that amazing? No? And so, amen. And so God leads us in the moment to moment as we view life in him and his will as a walk. It's a step by step. It's a submission and a him leading. Sometimes people make the mistake of saying, God isn't leading because I don't feel like he's spoken to me. Say, God, what do I do with my day? I didn't hear an audible voice from heaven. So that means he didn't speak, which means he probably doesn't have a will, which means I have a bunch of options. So let me just do what I want now and just try to live as a good Christian. I would say, if that's how you view your life, you really misunderstand what it means to live led by the Lord. Living dependent, walking in the Spirit means that the life that's in front of you, like God wants you to have faith in your heart. I'm submitted. He hasn't moved me out of this. This is what my day looks like. This is what he's already shown me I'm supposed to be doing with this day. And now I'm going at it. And I have this peace and confidence in my heart. I am walking in the will of God. God wants you to have that confidence and assurance where you know I'm walking in the Spirit. It's a command, walk in the Spirit. If it's a command, you should know whether you're doing it or not. So God wants you to be able to go into your day. And you know what's so beautiful about that then? If you're submitted, if you're walking in the Spirit, and then it's just another day going to work, same people, annoying boss, not good weather, the plans you had for the weekend fell through, so this week is just trash. Where when you're walking in the flesh and just in the natural and looking at your life, not recognizing that he is working and there's purpose in your submission, when you recognize you can literally go to the same job, the same place, the same family, the same friend group, but because you're surrendered and you know he's leading you, you begin to start seeing and you have faith that there is purpose in every single part of my life right now. What feels so natural and pointless, like no good is really gonna come out of this, this is just something I have to get through, you begin to see, if he's working all things together for good, and he wants to use me in all of these places, and he's using these things to refine me and grow me, I can embrace this. I don't have to resent it or fight it, because if I'm submitted and he hasn't led me out yet, then this is it, which means it is good. There's two kinds of struggle that we find in our life. Where that verse said, you harvest what you plant. So if we're living like we're God, we're walking in our flesh, there are consequences, right? It produces death and destruction. So there's challenges and things that are horrible that can come our way. But we know following Jesus, there's challenges and things that come our way too, right? Often his will is filled with so many very uncomfortable situations. But what that also makes clear is when I know I'm walking in God's will, I can have a peace in my heart that this challenge is not the consequence of me running from God. This challenge is something appointed by God because he wants to use this in my life, and I can begin to start having faith for it, right? I can be in the job that still feels purposeless and recognize he hasn't led me out yet. He hasn't opened the door. I don't have a peace yet. He hasn't pushed me out of this yet because in my submission. So that means this is hard, but it's the best kind of hard. He's working through this. I'm gonna trust him. I'm gonna let this refine me and grow me into, there's purpose in this. Like, I don't know what he has for my future, but if he's allowing this right now, it must be pretty important. He must be trying to do something really important in my heart and in my character, growing my faith in a way that it has to be for me to be able to walk in the fullness of what he has for me. Amen? You guys are sleeping right now. I feel like this is some good stuff. So, to summarize all of that, we are called to walk in the Spirit. It's a step-by-step. God's will for our life is found when we are dependent on him, submitted to him, realizing he's my shepherd and I'm a sheep. I can go through my life day by day, step by step, confident. If he's not checking me, if he's not saying, that's not for you, that grieves me, that what he's put in front of me right now is his will, and I can have faith for it. But here is where I think we have to just take a second to look at, that's the day-to-day, but then there are the big decisions of our life, right? Not just the day-to-day, what subway do I get on? It's what city am I living in? What church should I go to? Who should I be in a relationship with? What job? Any decision which affects the big who, where, when of our life, the what is fixed, right? But if God has purpose and prepared for us all of the other things that we're supposed to step into, then we have to be very sober and recognize God cares about how these things play out here. The who's, the when's, the where's. And so any decision that is bigger, that has the potential to have a bigger impact on your life like that, there is a far greater temptation for your flesh to try to take control and say, this is what's best for me. In big decisions in life, we have to walk in the Spirit so that we don't satisfy the desires of our flesh. But when we are making big decisions in our life, that is one of the most crucial times for us to be taking steps to ensure our flesh is not in the driver's seat. Because there's a lot more at stake here, right? So in these big decisions, I want to talk to you just a couple practical things, and we're going to wrap up here in a sec. But what are the ways that I keep my flesh in check when I'm making big decisions in life? If I don't keep my flesh in check, then again, I am making decisions trying to find earthly solutions to my spiritual needs. The first thing is this. To make decisions, big life decisions, apart from intimacy with God is a sure bet that we're going in a bad direction here. I've seen in my life so many moments where I was looking at where I was and I had no peace and I was miserable. And I'm like, I don't like this. I don't like how this feels. I don't like having to deal with this every day. And I don't have peace. And I'm like, so the fact that I don't have peace, God, this probably isn't your will. So what should I do? That thing over there or that thing over there? Because I'm going. So what are we going to do here? You know, if this is something a lot of us need to hear today. In the middle of your transition seasons of life, God still wants to anchor your heart in his peace. You not being sure of where your life is going is not an excuse to not have the peace of God reign in your heart. God isn't like, all right, you're allowed to not have peace because you're not sure yet. It's all the more reason. If I don't have peace because I don't like where things are and I'm unsure how they're going to play out, then that is one of the biggest indicators that I need to get with God. I need to anchor myself in the truth. I need his peace to guide me. And you know what's happened so many times in my life? I've done that in the middle of me wanting to run, and it became so clear, it's time to stay. That peace that you didn't have, it wasn't because you were in the wrong place. It was because you were looking to the wrong thing. When you're looking to the right thing, often the restlessness and the need to just fix this and do something about this actually finds its right place. And sometimes God still does want to lead you out, but it doesn't become this urgent, the sky is falling and a miserable thing anymore. Because I realize I don't need my circumstances to be something to have peace because I have Jesus. Amen? Number two, what are the ways that I guard myself against my flesh taking control? I have to do what God's already shown me to do. You not knowing what the next step is not an excuse to not do what God's put in front of you. Some of us are so focused on how that next thing is gonna play out, and all of our energy, all of our attention is it gonna be that way? I might move there 6 months from now, and if I do that, where am I gonna live, and how's that? And it's like God's called you to a community, to a job, and there's purpose in all of these things, and I'm throwing that purpose away because I'm just saying, like, I'm rejecting his will for me today while trying to find his will for me tomorrow. That's not a winning formula in life. The third thing, we're gonna wrap up in one sec. The Bible says this. Let's put up that verse from Proverbs. Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. If you are trying to find God's leading and hear his voice in your life, and you don't look to the body that he's placed around you, you are rejecting one of the main ways that he wants to speak to you. It's looking to others, but I would take it even further in a new covenant context. It's not just going to others for advice. The Bible says this, submit to those above you in the Lord. The pastors and shepherds that God has placed in your life are there partially to help you where your flesh is beginning to get in the way and lead, get you going in certain directions and thinking down certain paths. God puts shepherds in your life because you're a sheep to help correct you and show you and speak to you in different ways. If you're trying to find God's will for your life and you're not submitted to those God's put in your life to submit to, you're not actually submitted to God. That doesn't mean that pastors are God. That doesn't mean that what they say is what you absolutely must do. But if you don't allow the people that God has put, if you're in this church, the leaders and pastors are here, are your leaders and pastors. And if you don't look to them as you're trying to navigate and make sense of God's will for your life, maybe one of the reasons might be because you don't want to hear what you don't want to hear. A lot of times people don't look to others and they just say, God, speak to me. But they're not hearing God speak either because they're only listening for one thing, what they already want. They're not going to other people because they know they're probably going to say something I don't want to hear. I've grown up in this church. Do you know how many times in my life I've seen people going directions that all of the leaders that God's placed in their life are like, this is not good. Please, like, we're begging you, reconsider this. It's like, okay, so everybody is looking and saying you're off here and your flesh is obscuring things, but you know what's best and you're gonna do it. God puts the body of Christ as a mechanism to fight against our flesh taking control and driving our life in the wrong direction. So those are some of the ways that God has given us to keep our flesh in check. Finally, how do we then move from there? We're trying to keep our flesh in check. We're trying to walk in the Spirit. We're trying to remain submitted to him. How does he speak to us? How does he lead us? This is the thing. There's no just formula. It's not just you pray once and then God is going to bring this instant confirmation. It's not if you talk to a pastor instantly, they're going to tell you exactly what your future holds. The thing about this walk in the Spirit is this. It is a relationship with God that gets worked out as you trust him and walk with him. There's so many different ways God leads you and speaks to you. We want to just have this quick formula where all I know is, all right, I prayed for 5 minutes. If you didn't speak yet, then it means I'm just supposed to go do that. And we start telling God how this is going to work. And we try to create these systems in our mind. But as we are living in step with the Spirit, submitted to him, there are moments where you want to run. And through circumstances, through something in your heart, through words that are brought to you from other people, God makes it clear, wait. There's moments that you want clarity and you want to run. And you're just like, is this enough yet, God? Can I just begin to start moving? But he hasn't made it clear. And there's this check in your heart. And you're just like, how much longer do I have to wait here? It's so uncomfortable to live a life of faith, trying to keep in step with the Spirit, waiting when he says wait, going when he says go. There's a reason why a lot of people fight against it and go their own way. But this is the last word to all of us tonight. God is committed to leading you in the little and in the big. How he's gonna lead you, how he's gonna speak to you, he's gonna work through circumstances, he's gonna work through your desires, he can have people speak to you, he can bring crazy external confirmation, he can bring this deep peace in your heart, or he can steal all the peace from your heart and you just know, even though all of this seems so good and right, I know I can't go this direction. There's so many different ways that it can go, but if your heart is submitted, you will not miss it. And if there is anything that is important for my life and for your life today, is that we are not letting our flesh get in the way of these glorious purposes that God has laid out for your life. You might think God is not interested in you, that he's looked past you, that maybe he's thrown you away because you've made so many decisions. Lies. Today, if you come and trust him and surrender, he will bring your life into his order. He will have you stop. He will have you go. Some of us have to take steps of faith in situations that we have no business being in to come back to Jesus and wait before him. Others of us, we want to run and get out of where we are. We hate our job. We hate whatever. And God wants to give you faith to see there is purpose in what's in front of you. He has a will that he's unfolding, that he wants to give you fresh eyes to see. And then in the day-to-day, God wants us to be leadable. He doesn't want us to be people, I'm in the church you've called me to, I'm in the city you've called me to, I'm in the job you've called me to, but I'm operating in all of those places, just following what I want and not letting you lead me. In the places God has you, he wants to do so many beautiful things. He wants to lead you into divine encounters, situations where you look and you're like, only God could have done that. And today, as we trust him, as we surrender, and the band can come up, you can begin to start walking with a new faith in your life. Surrender. Come to him. The moment you come to him in faith and you say, God, here it is. He will show you what you have no business being in. He'll pull you from what you need to pull away from. He'll give you the strength to take the steps you know you have to take. Or he'll give you the strength to wait and to have faith for the life that's in front of you. Either way, we need faith today for God's will for our life. So let's have the band come up. We're not gonna have an altar call or anything. But I wanna just close in prayer tonight. God wants to lead you specifically. He doesn't just speak to the church and you're an afterthought. He is going to lead you in his purposes for your life. So let's all just stand up as we close tonight. I want to just give you a couple things to pray about in your heart right now. As you're hearing this word, God speaking to you, say, God, give me faith that you are working in my life, that you have a purpose and a calling and you're leading me. And as I trust you, help me to look at the life that you've placed in front of me with faith. Other people, even as we're speaking right now, you know you're not living in God's will for your life. You know you're settling for these empty lies of your flesh. And if that's where you are tonight, what God is saying is, just give me it. Just lay that at my feet. I will put to death your flesh. I will forgive you and I will give you my desires and my strength to walk in obedience. And so wherever you fall in that, maybe even the third thing, you're just saying, God, I want to live so sensitive with faith that you're leading me in a daily way. I don't want to just go through my life in the motions, just miserable, just like all of it. Like, I want each person that I interact with, each place that I go, to just have this expectancy and to let you speak to me and lead me and run at the life that you've placed in front of me. Wherever you are in that, just to the Lord right now, repent. Say, Jesus, I trust you. Forgive me. Save me from my direction. Save me from living apathetic. Save me from living a life going through the motions. Lord, I trust you are my shepherd. You are leading me. If there's anything in my life that has no business being there, save me from myself. But God, I trust you. I submit to you. Lead me in your glorious purposes for my life. pray that in your heart. We're going to close singing a song.
We hope you were encouraged by today's message. To connect with us, visit our ministry page at brooklyntabernacle.org, or you can follow us on our Instagram at sanctusnyc.